Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimesinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're going through the Gospel of Luke, and we're looking at the end times, the end of Jerusalem, the end of Israel, and the end of the world. Tune in and wake up to the things that God is doing. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, open your word to us right now. Open your word so that we see what Jesus saw, what the apostles saw. Let us understand perfectly the word and the will of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're looking at Luke chapter 21, verses 10 to 19. Luke chapter 21, verses 10 to 19. And grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. Okay, let's look at the passage. Luke 21, verses 10 to 19. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." So here we are, we're talking about the end times now. In the last ones we've done, we looked at the end of Jerusalem. Now we're looking at the end of the world, and the next one will be back to the end of Jerusalem. So we find in Luke 21, we're jumping back and forward between two time periods. The time when the Roman armies come upon Jerusalem to destroy it, and then later, the time when Jesus comes back to put an end to the powers and principalities of this age. Now, obviously, the destruction of Jerusalem is a paradigm. It's a pattern of the end of the age. And so here in miniature, in the destruction of Israel and the destruction of Jerusalem, that's the miniature example. That's what we're to look at to know what will happen in the end. And in the end, that's final. That's the great big thing that envelops the entire world in wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. But before the final things, before the earthquakes and pestilences, the church is persecuted and then it is raptured. So at some point it goes through this vicious persecution, and that is the wrath of Satan. We find at the end of Revelation 12, Satan comes down to earth extremely angry after losing the battle with Michael and his angels in the early part of Revelation 12. At the end of Revelation 12, he's been cast down to earth with fury to go after the saints. He goes to make war on the saints. That's the wrath of Satan. So the church endures the wrath of the devil that comes down to earth, and we have to endure up to the point where the 666 and the mark of the beast comes, and at some point we escape that. So at some point we are raptured up to heaven, and by our endurance we gain our lives. And we'll find that as we look in Revelation 3:10. "Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. So if we stand up for Jesus, if we have patience, endurance, if we stand up for his name, we're prepared to be thrown into prison and so forth, then we won't go through the final judgments of God when the sun gets hot and great rocks and meteors fall to earth and plagues and pestilences cover the earth. The judgments of Revelation 16 are for the people who have compromised. They're for those who have taken the mark of the beast and who will go into torment forever and ever. So we are to be patient, endurance. We're to resist the Antichrist. If our heads got chopped off, so what? If we're cast into prison, so what? If our friends and relatives hate us, so what? It says, not a hair of our heads will be harmed. Now, not a hair of your head will perish. What does that mean? Because just a little bit further up, it says, some of you they will put to death. So this seems to be a contradiction. Well, what it is it's saying our spiritual body, the body that we will wear in the resurrection, that remains unharmed. Our spiritual self remains unharmed. We will know the resurrection of the dead, and every hair on our head will be resurrected with Jesus Christ, because God even counts the hairs on our head. He has a backup copy of us, and we will be resurrected from the dead, and this mortal shall put on immortality, and we will be resurrected, but the resurrection body will bear some resemblance to our present body, and nothing of us will perish. It will go through to the other side. It will go through to the resurrection side, even if our heads are chopped off by a guillotine manned by the servants of the Antichrist. We will not actually perish when we are resurrected from the dead. Our head will be fine, our body will be fine, and it will be a glorified body, for this mortal must put on immortal, and this perishable must put on imperishable. And that includes your physical body. Your physical body at the resurrection will be healed, it will be whole, it will be fine, you'll be good looking, and not a hair of your head will have perished. It will have made it through to the other side. It will have made it through to glory. And that's the long-term view of things. So we find before Jesus comes back, going to be a lot of terrible things happening. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. And we see that with these Book of Revelation things where the great mountain-like fire falls into the ocean and so on and so forth. There are signs in heaven. The whole world is trembling just before Jesus returns. And then it says, but before all this, before the great wars, before the final tribulation, before God's judgment's poured out, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. So first of all, we have the wrath of Satan. And after the wrath of Satan, we have the wrath of God. So we will endure the wrath of the devil, but not a hair on our head will be harmed. It will come through to the resurrection. It'll come through to the other side. We will have glory and strength, because this is the patient endurance of the saints. So we are to have patient endurance of the saints. It's a phrase that's often used in the book of Revelation. And if we are patient, if we endure, if we stand up for Jesus, we'll come out the other side of it all like someone who's come through a fire, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They come out of the fire unharmed, essentially, because one was with them in the fire like unto a son of man. So we will go through the tribulation. And even if we're killed, even if we're beheaded, even if all these terrible jail sentences and things happen, we will essentially for the rest of eternity come out unharmed and full of glory. So the wrath of Satan will be directed against the church, because he is always angry at the church. He is always angry at believers and evangelists and intercessors and prophets and apostles and all who do the will of God. And he tries to shut the church down. He tries to stop our witness. But his anger and believers will only result in more of a witness. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering up You're up to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. So when you're dragged into jail or you're persecuted or prosecuted for his name's sake, not as a troublemaker, not as a thief or a murderer or a meddler, but if you're persecuted for being a Christian, and there's enough evidence about your life for people to say, you are a Christian and you're going to go to jail before being a Christian. If that's your life, then you are glorifying God. And you will stand up before kings and governors for the name of Jesus' sake, just as the Apostle Paul did. He was appointed to stand before kings and governors and to bear witness. And he was very eloquent and very strong. And we know that he witnessed before Felix and before Nero and before all these various people in the government of Rome and of the life of Israel. So we have an opportunity to bear witness. Now, how do we bear witness? Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. So God gives you a witness that none of the adversaries can contradict. We see this in Acts chapter 7, where the martyr Stephen stands up before the Sanhedrin and he gives his wonderful testimony to the grace and power of God and to the gospel. And by the end of this, once he talks about the gospel going to the Gentiles and other things, they become enraged and they see his face like an angel shining there, and they drag him out and they stone him to death. And as he's being stoned to death, he says, Father, forgive them. Do not hold this sin against them. So he is a true martyr for the faith. He brought a witness there, and Paul saw this, and I think it provoked Paul. It was like a prick of the goads into his conscience, and yet he became enraged at the church. He became enraged after the stoning of Stephen and went on a spree of persecuting the local church. So eventually Paul gets converted and the church has rest. So the wisdom of Stephen, the Sanhedrin, could not contradict. God will give you words that astonish people, and you just trust God. You see, Jesus lives inside of you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God can take over your mind and your heart and your words. Instead of your mind, you can be given the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. You need to ask God to replace your mind with the mind of Christ. You want to get out of your mind. You want to be out of your mind, but in a godly way. You want to get out of the mind of the flesh. You want to get out of the mind of self. You want to get out of the mind of this world and of all worldly thinking, stinking thinking, selfish thinking, and sinful thinking. You want to get out of your mind in those worldly ways, and you want a new mind. You want a renewed mind. You want the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ will give you words, words that no man can contradict. God will give you words of edification. He will give you words of comfort. He will make your voice prophetic. You might say, but you are not a prophet. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you may speak words of prophecy when it's necessary. When you're called before the judges of this earth, you will speak words and they will be confronted. The powerful people of the nation will be confronted with the truth through you. You might say, I'm unskilled, I'm uneducated, I don't know this and I don't know that. But so were Peter, James, and John. And they stood up and they were noted that they had been with Jesus. And they were surprised at their boldness because they were uneducated. In other words, they weren't trained in the rabbinical schools of the day. They weren't trained in sophistry and philosophy and all the things of the rabbinical schools of the day. So here God will teach you what to say in that day and that hour. And you need to regularly pray, not just for to be given words for when you're in a court or if you're persecuted, but for God to give you words of witness, give you words that no one can contradict as you speak to your own family members and friends about Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I know that my workmates, my friends, my family are going to ask me questions about Jesus. I don't know what to answer. And God will say, I will give you the answer. I will put the words in your mouth. And just as God put the words in the mouth of Moses and put the words in the mouth of his prophets, he has done these things. So we are going to face a time of great betrayal where parents and brothers and sisters and relatives will betray us over to a dictatorial government. You will be delivered up to whom? The kings and governors and synagogues and prisons. You'll be delivered up, you'll be betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. And why will they do this? You'll be hated by all for my name's sake. So as we approach the end times, the Christian faith will be hated. It will not be respected. It will be hated because it contradicts the powers and principalities of this age. The generosity of Christians will contradict the economic structures of the age. People helping people will go against the selfishness of the age. Sexual purity will go against the immorality of the age. And belief in God and worship in God will go against the worship of politicians, emperors, kings, presidents, or of the many idols that they also worship. The spirit of this age, the spirit of this world, which comes from the prince of the power of this air, which works and operates in the sons of disobedience, it will be greatly offended by the presence of even a single Christian. And here in America, it's in some places you can't get a job if you're a Christian, a Bible-believing, born-again, spirit-filled Christian, because they want you to sign this and sign that and be politically correct about this or that or the other. And if you say no, you won't get the job unless you turn away from the beliefs and truths of the name of Jesus. And you're to stand up for the principles of Jesus Christ, for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, for the truth of the gospel, and the truth that all who believe in Jesus Christ and who are born again will have eternal life. And you are to decide right now that you're going to be strong. You have to decide right now that you're going to be one of those that has patience, endurance. You are going to put up with all the junk that's going to come your way. It's no use being a sensitive Christian in a wicked age. Let me repeat that. It's no use being a sensitive Christian in an age of wickedness and iniquity. You cannot just crumble into a heap. You must decide that you will have patient endurance. You'll ask God for strength, for the ability to overcome, to be an overcomer in the faith, to have the sort of faith that Abraham had, that Moses had, that David had, that the great kings of Israel had who were godly, that the prophets had. All these people who had faith, the faith of Noah and the faith of all the great men and women of old, you need to share the faith of those that had patience, endurance, in a world full of wickedness. And we think of Noah and Lot as particular examples of people who were saved out of a wicked world by a great God. He knows how to put the wicked under judgment and rescue the righteous at the time of judgment, as he rescued Noah, as he judged the world, as he rescued Lot, as he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. You need to trust yourselves to a faithful God. And we are hated because of the name of Jesus. Why? Because the name of Jesus is the name of the King of Kings, on the Lord of Lords, and it represents the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God Almighty that's coming to put an end to the kings of this world and all the selfishness and all the wicked trade, and deep down the powers, the principalities, the evil spirits and the demons know that their time is short. And the name of Jesus says that to us. The time is short, and we become representatives of divine authority. We have died with Christ. We have risen with Christ into heavenly realms. We're seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus Christ, and we will return and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. So when you say that you are in the name of Jesus, that the name of Jesus has you, that you are in Christ, then if you are in Christ, you have died with Christ. And if you are in Christ, you have risen with Christ to new life. If you are in Christ, you have ascended into the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, and you're seated in heavenly realms with him, Ephesians 2, 6, and 7, where he is the high priest forever. And when Jesus returns, he will return with myriads and myriads of his holy ones, including you and I. And as Jesus reigns on the earth, we will reign on the earth, because we are in Christ, and where Christ is, there we are. Just as if we say there is tea in the cup, where the cup goes, the tea goes as well, because the tea is in the cup. So you move the cup and the tea goes with it. So if we are in Christ, you move Christ and we go with Christ, and we will return with Christ to rule and reign on this earth when Jesus does so. And he will be on his white horse, and we will be in the armies behind him to take over this planet from the devil and from all who follow him. And before that happens, there will be great wrath against the church, and we have to be prepared to endure that wrath. We do not endure the wrath of God. The wrath of God comes after we're gone, after we've been raptured. We do have to endure the wrath of the devil, of kings, of authorities, of persecuting governments, and so on. And if we look around the world, there are millions and millions of Christians who are being persecuted even to this day. And they are being persecuted by their governments. They're being persecuted by politically correct people. They're being persecuted by people of other religions and fanatics and terrorists and all sorts. And we see that there is great hatred of the name of Jesus. And this hatred is only increasing on a daily basis. So we know that the wrath of Satan is active, and it's getting louder and it's getting louder. But we are not under the wrath of God. God loves you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God will work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Even if you are executed, even if you are thrown in jail, one day you will rise from the dead, and all that will be a mere shadow. Not a hair on your head will have perished. You will have the fullness of your resurrection body. You will have glory. You will have spiritual authority. You will have gone from mortal to immortal. You will have gone from perishable to imperishable. You will have gone from the glory of this earth to the glory of heavenly things. You will be fully Christ. And the persecution you have gone through will seem as merely a bad dream that you have woken from into the glory of God and of heaven, and you will share eternal life with Jesus Christ. So do not be discouraged by the daily things that happen to you when people revile you in the name of Jesus, or persecute you or kill you in the name of Jesus. As Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 5 and verse 10 and going on from there, great is your reward in the kingdom of heaven if they revile you and hate you and persecute you on account of the name of Jesus and on account of the gospel. You see, God is watching you. God knows all that you're going through. God is taking note about how you act and react under persecution. And if you trust God, and if you trust God to give you words, if you trust God to make you a witness, great will be your glory in the heavenly realms. Rejoice when people persecute you, for great is your reward in heaven, because you're being treated just like the prophets of old. Because the prophets and those who spoke for God, they were all executed, they were all killed, from righteous Abel in the Garden of Eden, all the way up, or just outside the Garden of Eden, all the way up to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, who was killed before the altar, and of course up to John the Baptist and Jesus and all the apostles. You're in good company when the devil hates you. You're in good company when those who are in power who are full of greed and wickedness and corruption, hate you for the name of Jesus. You're in good company and glory is coming your way. Do not be concerned. Your redemption is nigh. God will come for you, God will rapture you, and God will eventually resurrect you, and God will cause you to reign and rule with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms forever and ever. And you don't need to worry about what you're going to say at these times. God himself will give you wisdom. He will give you words that no one can contradict, because God is a God who pours out wisdom into the human heart, the human mind, the human soul. It will be his gift to you right at that moment, right at that time. You will know what to say. You will know what to do. It will be very abundantly clear. For the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power. The Holy Spirit is in you for the gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and patience. But the Holy Spirit comes upon you to do ministry, to speak with authority, to speak words of prophecy, to speak words of wisdom and knowledge. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you as it came upon the martyr Stephen, when his face shone and he was full of the Holy Spirit and power. And he was so full of the Holy Spirit that the whole Sanhedrin rushed upon him. They could not stand the presence of God in their midst. And when you are full of the Holy Spirit, they may be enraged with you because of the Holy Spirit is upon you. But the heavens are happy. And God is happy. Jesus is happy. And Jesus stood by the martyr Stephen and received his spirit into heaven. And he said, I can see Jesus at the right hand of the Father on high. He saw heaven open and Jesus was there. He was at the right hand of the Father on high. And you will receive blessings from the Lord when you stand up for the name of Jesus. The time is coming. The time is not far from the end of the world. Neither you nor I know the day nor the hour. But be prepared for a massive persecution of the church. And as you go through that persecution, determine that you will be a person of courage. You will not be weak. You will not collapse. You will not renounce the name of Jesus. You will be strong. You will have patient endurance. You will have the endurance that hopes in the hope of the resurrection. The endurance that hopes in the heavenly reward. Because God is a God who will reward you if you are faithful. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.